How's everybody doing? Man, I have missed the last one due to different circumstances coming up when the men meet together, and I realize it's awesome just being with the brothers.
Amen.
It really is. You know, we can talk about things brothers need to talk about.
Amen.
We can encourage one another.
Right.
We can take a look at God's Word, and we can pray. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here tonight with our brothers and with our sisters. Father, we need your encouragement and your refreshing tonight. We want to worship you with all our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength. Father, we want to learn from your word tonight. I pray that you will help us to concentrate and open our minds. There's so many distractions in life that try to pull us away from you and focus on different things. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to be of encouragement to one another. Help us to strengthen one another. Help us to be with our brothers that have been sick and getting surgeries and have tests, as well as our sisters, the people that can't be with us tonight. They're on our hearts and minds. We ask that you heal them and take care of them. Father, we're so grateful for your kingdom, for you giving us this life to live. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. The scriptures that we're going to draw upon tonight, I'd like you to go ahead and write down. We are not going to go through all these. I want you to go back and take a look at these because it'll give you a deeper understanding of what we're talking about tonight. It'll give you more context and background. The scriptures that we'll be referencing tonight are 2 Kings chapters 16 through 18, 2 Chronicles chapters 28 through 32, 2 Chronicles chapters 28 through 32, Isaiah chapters 37 and 38, and Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 18 through 19. Jeremiah 26, verses 18 through 19. Now, we're not going to read all those tonight, but it will give you a much deeper understanding of what we're going to be talking about tonight, a lot more detail. What we're going to do tonight is take a look at the lives of King Ahaz and King Hezekiah. Go ahead and be turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. What I want to do is, in a sense, compare and contrast a father and a son.
Amen.
We're talking to the men tonight,
amen,
and we're going to examine some lives and some differences, and I will come away with 4 points. There are so many more to be looking at in here. It was very hard for me to just keep to 4 points. So I'll make a bunch of sub-points. But I really encourage you to come back and study these chapters because they're great, deep studies on leadership.
Amen.
On how to be a leader. How to lead a movement of God. How not to be a leader. All kinds of different examples. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, we'll talk about Ahaz first. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and also made cast idols for worshiping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his sons in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Therefore, the Lord his God handed him over to the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Zichri, an Ephraimite warrior, killed Maaseiah, the king's son. Azrikam, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, second to the king. The Israelites took captive from their kinsmen 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. We'll stop right there. It's not a good picture, is it?
No.
You have a king named Ahaz who becomes king at the age of 20. He reigns for 16 years. He's a young man, isn't he?
Yes.
And he did not do right in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, he just kicked it off right away, not doing right at the age of 20. Says he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, meaning he didn't pay attention to the word of God. In fact, he sacrificed his children, some of his sons, to a god, burning them in the fire. He offered sacrifices and burned incense in high places, on the hilltops, it says, under every spreading tree. And because of his behavior, the Lord, his God, handed him over to the king of Aram. And he handed over 120,000 soldiers to be killed because of this man's disobedience and his leadership in the detestable ways of the people who have been cast out of Canaan. In 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19, says, the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he promoted wickedness in Judah and had been most unfaithful to the Lord. What an indictment. Most unfaithful to the Lord. People suffer from other people's unfaithfulness to the Lord. So it goes on, and I'm just going to give you a synopsis of his life, which is also in the scriptures that I gave you. But Ahaz, you know, he's under attack from the king of Aram. They start taking his cities. He has defeats from the king of Israel. And so his wise thinking is, I'm going to go to the king of Assyria, who was Tiglath-Pileser, I can't even pronounce his name. And he asked him to go and fight against the king of Aram and the king of Israel. He says, you know, I'll become your vassal. I'll give you money if you do this for me. And guess what? It seemed to be in the king of Assyria's interest to attack the king of Aram, and he defeated the king of Aram and took Damascus. So in the course of time, what happened is Ahaz went to see the king of Assyria there in Damascus. And when he was there, he took note of what the king of Aram, now remember, Aram just got defeated by Assyria. He took note of what the king of Aram had worshipped, his gods, and how he worshipped those gods, and the altars that had been upon that he had sacrificed to. And his best thinking was, you know, the king of Aram defeated me. His God must be good, better than my God, because I lost. So, in fact, this altar is really cool. I'm going to make a sketch, and I'm going to send it back to the priest. I'm going to have him make one of these, and we'll use it to worship on. And that's what he does. He sends this sketch back to the priest in Israel. The priest makes it while he's still away and comes back, and he moves David's altar to the Lord out of the way, and he brings this new altar in, and he starts sacrificing to this God of Aram, who's been defeated by the guy he hired, and worships this God. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? But remember, this is his best thinking. By the way, to hire the king of Assyria, he strips the temple of gold and all his treasury, I mean, in one sheep, and hires him to take over. And so, in 2 Chronicles 28, verses 24 through 25, he gathers the furnishings from the temple of God and takes them away. He shut the doors of the Lord's temple and set up altars at every street corner in Jerusalem. In every town in Judah, he built high places to burn sacrifices to other gods and provoked the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. It says in verse 27 that when Ahaz dies, he was buried in Jerusalem, but he was not placed in the tombs of the kings of Israel. And then his son Hezekiah succeeds him.
Wow.
All right, that is what the Bible says in a nutshell of the life of King Ahaz, king of Judah. I want you to just think about that for a minute. And let's then take a look at Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square on the east side, and said, "Listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all the defilement from the sanctuary. Our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. This is why our fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and wives are in captivity. Now, I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense." Then these Levites set to work. And I'm going to skip all the names I can't pronounce, and I'm going to pick up in verse 15. When they had assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves, they went in to purify the temple of the Lord as the king had ordered, following the word of the Lord. The priest went into the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord. The Levites took it and carried it out to the Kidron Valley. They began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and by the eighth day of the month, they reached the portico of the Lord. For 8 more days, they consecrated the temple of the Lord itself, finishing on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went into King Hezekiah and reported, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils and the table for setting out the consecrated bread with all its articles. We have prepared and consecrated all the articles that King Ahaz removed in his unfaithfulness while he was king. They are now in front of the Lord's altar." Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials together and went up to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 male lambs, and 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer these on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Next, they slaughtered the rams and sprinkled their blood on the altar. Then they slaughtered the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. The goats for the sin offering were brought before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. The priests then slaughtered the goats and presented their blood on the altar for a sin offering to atone for all Israel, because the king had ordered the burnt offering and the sin offering for all Israel. He stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David and Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. This was commanded by the Lord through his prophets. So the Levites stood ready with David's instruments and the priests with their trumpets. Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. As the offering began, singing to the Lord began also, accompanied by trumpets and the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly bowed in worship while the singers sang and the trumpeters played. All this continued until the sacrifice of the burnt offering was completed. When the offerings were finished, the king and everyone present with him knelt down and worshiped. King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshiped. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord." So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings. The number of burnt offerings in the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 male lambs, all of them for burnt offerings to the Lord. The animals consecrated as sacrifices amounted to 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep and goats. The priests, however, were too few to skin all the burnt offerings, so their kinsmen, the Levites, helped them until the task was finished and until other priests had been consecrated, for the Levites had been more conscientious in consecrating themselves than the priests had been. There were burnt offerings in abundance, together with the fat of the fellowship offerings and the drink offerings that accompanied the burnt offerings. So the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. Amen. What a contrast. You have a young man of 25 who has already made up his mind what he's going to do. Just as Ahaz at 20 had already made up his mind what he was going to do. And both set out deliberately fulfilling what they had in their minds to do, didn't they? They both had a plan. There's a lot more to the story with Hezekiah. He is quite a character, and we're going to look at some more of it I read that long reading to give you some context of what happened. Things changed quickly.
Amen.
It didn't take long for things to change. The first point I want to make tonight is that you decide what kind of man you're going to be.
Amen.
You decide what kind of man you will be. How you were raised does not dictate who you are and who you will become.
Amen.
You're not trapped.
Right.
It's not written in stone. You decide.
Amen.
That can be scary.
Yep.
That can be encouraging.
Yep.
You see, I'm going to ask you some questions. Was your father a religious man? Did he live to please God? Did he set you an example to follow on how to live your life that was worthy of being followed? Maybe he was a hard worker. Maybe he was faithful as a husband and stayed married to your mother. That's great. But you are the one who will decide who and what you will be.
Come on.
You are the one. Even if you had a great example, you can choose another path.
That's right.
Even if your parents did everything right, you can choose another path. That's what Ahaz did. It says in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, 2 Kings 15, verse 34, that Ahaz's father was Jotham. That he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. Ahaz had a grandfather and a father who pleased the Lord.
Wow.
And he took another path.
Wow.
He had a good example at home.
Wow.
And he chose what kind of man that he was going to be.
Good point.
You can choose to go against the instruction of the Lord. You can choose to go to church but still not obey God's word. You can choose to follow your desires and your emotions rather than God's wisdom. How did that work out for Ahaz? How did it work out? I think that we have to think through this. We have a choice. We get to choose. We can ignore what's happened before us. We can ignore our parents' examples if they're good ones. We have a choice.
That's right.
But we have to ask ourselves, how's it going to work out?
Amen.
How is it going to work out? In Ahaz's example, what the Bible clearly shows us is that he had God for an adversary all his life. And I don't think that when we're making these choices, we see that God would be an adversary if we choose to go against Him and His will when we knew better. When we choose, we need to make a good choice based upon information, right?
Amen.
The scary thing is Ahaz had the information. That's a very scary thing. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 40, it says, even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. In other words, they thought they could do it all. They thought, I'll worship the Lord, I'll follow my idols. I'll worship other idols. That's what I want to do. There was not this firm conviction of God's word. And I warn you, if you've had any religious training, you're very susceptible to this.
Yep. Yeah. Come on.
You are very susceptible to having a religious outlook, and you're thinking that you can worship the Lord and you can pretty much live as you please. Do you want to have God for an adversary your entire life? Remember, you decide what kind of man you will be. Remember, how you were raised does not dictate who you are or what you will become. I'm going to keep repeating this. Because what I found is young men and older men don't really think about this. Sometimes we become slaves to our past. Maybe you had an absentee father. Maybe you didn't even know who your father was. That happens all the time. Maybe he left when things got tough. Maybe he abused you or your mother. Maybe he just stayed home on Sunday while mom took you off to church. Maybe he was a cheater. Maybe he committed adultery. Maybe he had a whole other family or two. Maybe he never married your mother. He couldn't keep a job. I don't know what example that you had. But you get to choose.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
None of that matters. I want you to think about this, guys. Hezekiah made a choice. He saw the outcome of his father's life. He saw his brothers killed. One brother was killed in war because of his father's disobedience. That's what the scripture says. Other brothers, his father sacrificed to other gods.
Wow.
He saw his father's decisions and he said, that's not for me.
Right.
And he made a different choice. He investigated God's word. It was available. It's available now. It's always available.
Amen.
You can choose to follow God's word.
Amen.
You know, it could have turned out different for Hezekiah. It happens all the time. He could have been bitter.
Yep.
He could have been angry. He could have been worse than his father. He could have said, I'm going to up it some. I'm going to take it higher. I'm going to be worse. And there were kings who did. There were. But that wasn't the choice that he made. He didn't follow in his father's footsteps. He could have used his father as an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever used your father as an excuse?
Wow.
Or your parents as an excuse for how you live?
Wow.
Or the decisions that you made? Or are making now? Have you ever thought, even if they've lived good, that that's somehow rubbed off on you? And that because they're good, you must be good? Because they worship the Lord, that somehow by osmosis that you became in a close relationship with God? It doesn't work that way. That's right. What kind of man do you want to be?
Amen.
That is the question when you get to choose. How will you live? How will you make your decisions? Hezekiah turned to the Lord. He had his eyes wide open to how his father lived and decided his father's choices were wrong. Back in verse 10, we read that he decided, I am going to make a covenant with the Lord. And that's what we do when we follow Christ.
Amen.
I am going to make a covenant with the Lord. I choose God. You have a choice.
Amen.
In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 6, it says, he held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He was successful in whatever he undertook.
Amen.
That's encouraging, isn't it?
Amen.
I think we ought to put the Lord to the test.
Amen.
In that. Point two. You can be a young man and lead others spiritually.
Wow. Come on.
He was how old? 25.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did, in the first month of his reign, he got busy.
Yeah.
He didn't wait. He didn't put it off. He knew what his decision was, and he started living it.
Amen.
You guys that are single, you guys that are in college, what are you waiting for? I'm really saying that. There's no need to wait. You're old enough.
Yeah. Amen.
You're old enough right now.
Amen.
To lead others spiritually. Let me give you some ways that we see from this. You can lead in worship.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 25 through 36, what we see is that King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. He said, all right, we're going to use psalms. We're going to sing psalms. We're going to read. And he says, in verse 31, come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. He's encouraging, he's calling people to come together to worship. And he is creative in his worship. He brings back the old. The things that they had let go of. The good stuff. And it gets it incorporated into worship. And he says in verse 36, Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. You know, that whole thing happened so fast. And all it was is he had a plan. He thought it through. Here's what we need to do. And he got busy about it. So look for opportunities, young men. How you can worship the Lord. What can you bring to the worship of the Lord as an individual?
Amen.
How can you contribute? Are you giving? Because he encouraged everyone to give and he set the example in giving. In fact, that's another thing that you can do in leading is giving.
Amen.
Hezekiah set the example in giving in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 24. He provided 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for the assembly.
Wow.
Now, we're not kings, but what can you do?
Amen. That's right.
That is the question. Are you leading and giving as a young man? You can encourage. In 2 Chronicles 30, verse 22, it says, Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good understanding of the service of the Lord. When you see someone doing something good, you can go, that was awesome.
Amen. Amen.
That was good. Amen. You're doing good. Keep it up.
Amen.
Wow. Good.
You can encourage. Yeah. You can lead in encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can call others to repentance.
Yeah. Come on, Steve.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 6 through 12, let's take a look at that. At the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and from his officials, which read, people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror, as you see. Do not be stiff-necked, as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God, so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him.
Wow.
The couriers went from town to town in Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun. But the people scorned and ridiculed them. Wow. Nevertheless, some men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord.
Amen.
He sent a letter. He sent a letter to people that really weren't even in his kingdom, saying, repent.
Amen.
If you want your families to come back, repent, change.
Amen.
Pleading with them, reasoning with them. Come worship at the temple again. Please worship God. You don't have to be an old man to ask people to repent.
Amen. Come on, brother.
You can be a young man and do that. With all respect, it is pleading. Change your life.
That's right. Come on.
Change your life. You have something to offer. You can pray for God's people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 18 through 20, it says, although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he is not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary. And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. You know, they were trying to do right. They had been caught up in sin. They were imprisoned by sin. They were having a hard time getting out of it, and they're trying to do right. And Hezekiah intercedes with God, saying, God, forgive them. Anyone whose heart is pure, forgive them.
Come on, bro.
And God listened.
Amen.
And he did. That's so encouraging to me. Amen. You can pray.
Yep. That's right.
We can pray.
Amen.
Young men can lead. I encourage you to do so. Point three. And I'm going to have to hurt. Your faith will be tested.
Yep. Come on.
And the other part of that is, and you just might freak out. Your faith will be tested, and yes, you just might freak out. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 7, it says that King Hezekiah rebelled against Assyria. He decided he wasn't going to pay tribute to the king of Assyria anymore. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1, it kind of pulls everything together and says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. All right, so here you are. You're serving the Lord. You're giving your heart fully to Him. You're trying to do everything right you can figure out how to do. And then there's trouble. Big trouble. Your whole country gets invaded. What are you going to do? I'm going to freak out. I'm going to freak out. That's what he did.
Wow.
So it matters how you're going to react in these situations. Hezekiah is a good guy, isn't he? He's been a faithful man. But all of us at some point are going to freak out when we're tested. When things hit us such a way where we're feeling so overwhelmed, is how am I going to deal with this? In 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 13 through 16, it says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent this message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me. The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. This was his freak out moment. He ended up doing exactly like Daddy did. Daddy bought off the king of Assyria. He stripped everything out of the temple, took all the treasury and says, I'm your man. I'll be your vassal. I made a mistake. He did not turn to the Lord, did he?
Wow. Come on. Come on, bro.
He wasn't faithful in this circumstance. That was his freak out moment. But guess what happened? The king of Assyria took the money and I'm going to keep on coming. I'm winning. I'm going to just take over the country anyway. It didn't do anything, did it? It didn't work out for his father. It didn't work out for him either. How do you recover from not being faithful? It's going to happen.
Yep.
I'm sorry. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We mess up. It's going to happen. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. In verses 6 through 8, it simply says, He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words, Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah the king of Judah said.
Wow.
See, what happened after his freak out moment is he remembered who's in control.
Amen.
And then he took action on it. He made preparations. He encouraged the people what he remembered. We have God. God's on our side. So next time you're tested, maybe you freak out, you need to come back to remembering God's in control. React differently. And see what happened when Hezekiah put his faith in God. We don't have time to read it. I encourage you to go in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verses 9 through 23. But in synopsis, what happened is that the king of Assyria sent his military officials to taunt Jerusalem. He spoke in Hebrew to the people, basically saying, Who are you basing your confidence on? I've destroyed every god of every country. No god protects countries from us. Your God won't be any different, basically, is what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't listen to Hezekiah, who says that your God is going to rescue you. Who are you putting your faith in? He just wants you to follow him. Basically, he just taunts. And so what happens is Hezekiah humbles himself.
That's right.
And he prays. And he gets the people together. He gets Isaiah with him. And they come before the Lord and say, look what's going on here. You are being defamed. Save us. And that's exactly what happens. In a miraculous way, God rescues the people and over 180,000 of the Assyrians are slain by an angel. Now, I encourage you to go and study this out because even secular historians have proof that the Assyrians withdrew, that they suffered something and it made them withdraw, and they went home and they never took Jerusalem. Independent historians, I think it was Rhodius, I can't remember which one, mentions it. So, I just want to encourage you with that. The final thing, The final thing we need to take a look at, the final point, is we need to keep repenting.
Amen.
Amen.
The final lesson that we'll take away from Hezekiah tonight is we need to keep repenting.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 24 through 26, it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore the Lord's wrath was on him, on Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore the Lord's wrath did not come upon them during the days of Hezekiah." We're not perfect. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to keep repenting to stay in a relationship with God.
Amen.
We can't be prideful no matter what successes we have in life, no matter what we overcome. It's only because God is with us. We're not perfect. We've got to keep repenting.
Yeah.
Amen. See, we do not deserve the gifts of God, nor His mercy. When we start having the attitude that we do, we're in a very bad place. At the end of Hezekiah's life, we read in 2 Chronicles 32:32 that all Judah and all the people of Jerusalem honored him when he died. How different he ended up being from his father. How very different. His father was not honored. He was honored. And so, the last question I want to leave you with is, what kind of life do you want to be remembered for?
Amen.
You get to choose.
Yep.
You decide what kind of man you'll be. You get to choose.